And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Super. Thanks for asking.
You're very welcome.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Keyser, how are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great.
That's great. That's real good.
Outstanding.
Just super.
Yeah,
got a lot to get to on the program here today. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, dropping by at 7:30. We'll get into all things Vanderbilt with him. Recap the Kentucky game. Look ahead to the Missouri game coming up for Vanderbilt this weekend. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com in studio from 8 to 9 talking all things Tennessee Titans. So looking forward to that coming up starting at 8 o'clock. Joe, the Preds in action tonight. A little preseason action at home. So we are inching ever closer to regular season hockey. Right around the corner.
Yeah, not ready for it. Never am when it comes. But you know what? It's like last night. Oh, my gosh. That's great. I'm looking at your tweet here, the Vrabel Urban.
That's amazing. Handshake. Just the handshake.
Yeah. The absolute no look by Urban. The Urban staring into the distance.
Yeah. A lot of things going on with him.
I forgot that time. Yeah, I forgot how rough that one was. That just threw me off. Sorry,
Sorry.
Opened up X and that greeted me, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway, hockey, not ready for it, but this is the point I was going to make. Last night, had a great see, this is what you got to have in your future. So you have kids stuff all the time.
Yeah.
A great choir concert, you know. After a great winning tennis match, you know, but then you get home and it's a Tuesday night, and it's like there's no football.
I know.
There's no sport. There's no sports on. So soon enough, that's the whole point I'm getting to, is you got hockey, basketball, and then you can just watch sports every day.
Be a great time of the year. We've had this argument before. What's a better time of the year? Is it the springtime, like right around March, April, when all the playoffs and start in the NHL and the NBA and all that? Baseball's beginning. Or is it October when you got the NFL going, college football going, NBA starting up later in October, NHL starting up mid-October, baseball playoffs going on? I mean, for me, it's October.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's hard. I think it has to be at a time when football is happening.
I would agree.
So as much as I love March and May and June, to, you know, the playoffs, big time. But no, it's got to be when football's happening, right?
I would think so. Some people include the NFL draft in the April discussion, but that's not football. That's just talking about football.
Yeah.
And selecting football players.
I mean, it's a big deal.
It is.
But, yeah, I like sports when they're played.
Actual football.
Yeah.
Be great. Speaking of actual football, the Titans will be hosting Cincinnati on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. We have dissected the issues this week that we saw in the Cleveland game. It is what it is. At this point, you're 1-2. Titans back on the practice field today. We'll see what the injury report looks like and all those things as they prepare for Cincinnati. And now the question, Joe, is how do you dig your way out of this? You're 1-2 on the season. Certainly in the division that you play in, things are still right in front of you if you can take advantage of that if you're the Titans. So by no means is this, in my opinion at least, time for panic. Now, I know there are Titans fans out there that probably would disagree with that, but based on the record, based on the time of year it is, and based on the division they play in, no time for panic yet, in my opinion. But how do you dig your way out of this, and what are some solutions to what we've seen through the first 3 weeks that Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly and Shane Bowen and their staff can search for? We've talked about a lot of problems. The offensive line, a big problem. Secondary has been a big problem. In my opinion, Treylon Burks has been a big problem so far outside of one play. Like, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed for the Titans as they move forward. How do you start to dig your way out of it? And you got the Cincinnati Bengals coming in who are 1-2 as well, but I think everybody knows how talented they are. It's not going to get any easier for the Titans, in my opinion, coming up on Sunday. Last time I checked, which was last night, Cincinnati a 2.5-point favorite in this game on the road.
Well, as you're talking, I'm looking at the text line to see if anybody's chimed in. But I just looked at like the one of the most recent ones from 5:54 yesterday.
Yep.
I know Vrabel's a lot to blame, but I'm still not sure he should be fired. What was Jared talking about yesterday?
I don't know.
We're firing Vrabel now? Are we
Maybe
firing
so.
Vrabel?
He did text me from my scale the other day of like, where am I at on the firing Vrabel scale?
Okay. The scale. So in other words, he asked for your number 1 to 10?
Correct.
Okay, and what was your number?
I think it was like 2.3, 2.4.
Oh,
something like
oh
that.
You're allowing decimals. Okay.
I'm doing decimals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 2.3. Yeah.
Any number between 1 and 10, and so that's a number.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, we made fun of the Vegas odds and where they had Vrabel on the hot seat. Like, is he moving up? Like, you know, where is he in the Vegas hot seat?
That's a great question. I need to see if I can find that today.
But to answer your question, you know, in terms of what they need to do to dig out of it, first of all, he's key. He's pretty important.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I really, you know, it's such a cliche to talk about, like, back to the basics, but, I mean, they have to run the football. I mean, you know, if they're – we did this thing at the Athletic yesterday, okay, and I don't know if it's out yet or not, but they had a few of us who cover, you know, running backs. They're basically – they redid their fantasy running back rankings, okay? Our fantasy guys did. And so they wanted me to chime in on Derrick Henry. Yeah, here we go. Okay, top 50 running backs, okay? And they've got writers chiming in this too, so – and I mean, I countered this. Let me see if they actually have the list. They got Derrick Henry in the 20s.
20s, huh?
In the 19? I gotta actually see if I can see the. Okay, here we go. This is Jay Felicio. He has Derrick Henry, the 24th best running back in the NFL, behind, let's see, Brian Robinson, Najee Harris, Damian Pierce, Javonte Williams, et cetera, et cetera. Gene Clemens, again, this is like a re-ranking after, you know, the first few games. He has him 19th. So just behind, you know, like Eckler and Brian Robinson. He's got Brian Robinson. I mean, Brian Robinson Jr. is very good, by the way. So I went in there. I mean, my comment on the whole thing was Derrick Henry, to me, has not really diminished much. He's playing for right into the offensive line that he played for, that he played behind. Sunday is, to me, number 32 in the NFL.
Yes.
Okay? Now, Skoronski will be back, and it won't be that, but that's what it was. So, if you took Derrick Henry, let's take Derrick Henry in 2020, and you put him on that field Sunday.
I don't know that much is getting accomplished.
I don't think anything. And if you took this Derrick Henry and you put him in the 2020 offense, I don't think he'd have the same numbers. Because some of those 70-yard TD runs are maybe like 30-yarders where he gets caught. Right? I mean, but he's still like a 1,700-yard back.
Yeah.
Right?
I would agree.
But this is the perception of, he's hit. You can see. So this is perception. He's hitting the wall. Here it is. This is what happens to running back. Here's exactly what I wrote. I don't think he's fallen off much at all as a talent. He's been dynamic when he's been afforded any space. So that's all. To get to the question you asked, which is, I mean, to me, this is it's kind of like a caveman week. I mean, like, line up and hit someone and run the football.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't think there's any way that they win this game if they don't control the clock and keep Joe Burrow off of it. As average as he's been, he's still Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, eventually he's going to figure it out, right? And you're hoping it's not against you. I mean, we talked about this with Deshaun Watson last week. You know, I didn't know that, you know, the phrase eventually he's going to figure it out. I wasn't overly convinced for Deshaun Watson anymore based on what we had seen from Cleveland. I'm totally convinced Joe Burrow eventually is going to figure it out based on what we've seen from him to this point in his career. You know, a lot of people, because I'm with you, like they got to be able to run the ball this week, not only this week, but as they move forward here, like it's got to be a big part of what they do, both with Henry and with Spears. You know, a lot of people would say, well, I mean, you got to throw the ball. Isn't that why you brought Tim Kelly in, is to be able to throw the ball more? And yes, you do. But again, like this offensive line, everything comes back to the offensive line when you start to talk about this team. Like, it was so bad on Sunday. And I don't know how much better it's going to get pass blocking wise. Skoronski will help. But it was so bad on Sunday that, you know, even if it's not Myles Garrett, like I'm looking right now at this matchup against the Bengals, and I'm thinking to myself, I mean, Trey Hendrickson has got to be licking his chops right now, thinking about going up against this Titans front. And he's not Myles Garrett, but he's a really good player, and he had a big impact on that game Monday night for the Cincinnati and their win against the Rams. And right now, I don't have any confidence that the Titans can block him. And I do wonder, like, if you're Vrabel, because Jared's talked about this, and Jared has a big problem with Vrabel and Tim Kelly and the way that they plan things offensively on Sunday in terms of leaving guys singled up against Myles Garrett. And we've talked about that Andre Diller play before the half where I think TD sent in a text where it was 2.7 seconds from snap to sack that Myles Garrett got back there, which is the quickest in the NFL so far this year. Well, I mean, that's on the coaches, right?
Like, yeah, I think so.
You can't just sit there and leave Andre Diller singled up in that situation. So how much does their approach change if they're not going to make any changes in terms of moving somebody else in at left tackle, which it doesn't look like they're going to this week? Does your approach change at all as in terms of how much help you're going to have to give your offensive line? Because I think you're getting close to the point where it may have to.
I think so. I mean, I think every week's a different, you know, game plan and all that stuff. I agree with Jared in that sentiment you just said there in terms of I just think they had a bad plan. I mean, they had a bad plan. If any of your plan is, well, Andre can handle him for a while, you know. And obviously they changed it some during the game. I don't think they changed it enough. And on that play, like, it's like that's the only thing that realistically, the only thing that blows that play up is Myles Garrett, human missile, blows it up, which he did.
Yeah.
So I agree. That to me, I mean, I said it Monday. I mean, I put that one on the coaches. Like Tannehill, yeah, get rid of the ball. But seriously, he had so not a chance on that play. But you know, as far as like, but that's one day. It's just like anything else on a football team. Doesn't mean that they can't have a good plan this week. I thought they had a good plan for New Orleans, and the quarterback didn't. It was on him. He didn't execute. And then I thought week two, it was actually kind of a combination of some good plan and good execution. And then last week was a disaster. And it started with the plan, and it was an exposure of just how limited and overwhelmed this offensive line is. So, but I don't look at last week and say, well, that's up, and that's all they're going to do. Maybe sticking with Diller too long. I mean, I think that's a concern. But as far as like week to week game planning, you know, I don't think they're going to be like, you know what, this week, Andre, it's on you. We're going to try it one more time, and it's you and Trey, and let's go. You know, I'd be really surprised if that's the approach.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We are off and running discussing the Tennessee Titans. How do they dig themselves out of the hole that they've dug to begin the season here? We'll take your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
I'm in some need of your therapy after what we saw from the Titans in Cleveland over the weekend. Just brutal. And my overall theme, my overall question of the day is, when can we start pointing to Mike Vrabel for all of these lingering issues? The offense was bad last year. Offense is bad this year. Offensive line was a problem last year. Offensive line is a problem this year. When do we start pointing at the coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time. I mean, and I think that this is all really set up, you know, going back to a year ago when – you know, midseason and John Robinson is let go. I mean, I think at that point, it's kind of like, all right, like there's no question about where it, you know, it goes from there. And so, yeah, I think that it's, you know, just, I think the time is now. And I think that it's not like anything has changed through three games. I think that was the case going into the season and sitting at 1-2 and having two performances that were, you know, subpar, especially by the offense. I think that that's definitely where the attention should go.
That was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Discussing a little Mike Vrabel talk there. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, look, not surprised. I mean, I think it's fair, again, it's fair for fans to be mad at Vrabel. It's fair to look at Vrabel and hold him most accountable. Of course he's most accountable. We got some angry texts right now for us.
Got somebody that says, here's a plan. Hold Vrabel accountable. Where you at, national sports media? Crickets.
It says, where you at? But
it does say where you at.
I do understand. So this same texter yesterday, I'm going to read the text from yesterday. Going to have some faith in you, Jared. When will the Nashville media start holding Vrabel accountable? Last year it was all J-Rob's fault. Vrabel backdoored him. It's getting old with the coddling of the
I guess Belichick.
Beckacek offshoot? For real. I mean, people, who's coddling Vrabel? This is my question. I mean, again, like when you say hold him accountable, does this mean Vrabel, get out here? You go to your room, or like do we have him? Just have him like in public square?
Everybody always says that. Nobody ever says what that means. Okay, right. What does that mean?
I mean, Vrabel's asked. I again,
we're gonna do a Nashville sports media arm wrestling challenge with Mike Vrabel. Like, what are we doing?
Everybody try to tackle him.
Yeah.
I think that. I was not in the Monday presser. I was driving back from Cleveland. I was there at the game Sunday. I think all the questions that need to be asked of Vrabel were asked. He has another presser today. I don't like, again, sure, hold him accountable. Like one person can really hold him accountable. It's Amy Adams Strunk. So if you think that's the answer, I think you're crazy. Okay, I mean, I think this is massive overreaction. If you're just talking about like the conversation here, the questions or whatever, again, send your questions in. If your question is why are you so stupid and should you be fired, that's probably not going to be asked.
Yeah,
okay,
probably not going to go that route. Tyler on the text line says, I don't understand why they aren't moving the pocket more. Rollouts and boots are useful for bad offensive lines. It feels like they're reluctant to use those tactics. This from Tyler on the text line. What do you think of that?
Yeah, they did that in overtime against the Chargers. Turned into that.
It worked.
Really game-winning play to DeAndre Hopkins. In general, I mean, I agree. I think that's a good strategy. But, you know, the thing is, when you look at, like, for example, the Hopkins play down the sideline, you know, when you look at that play, they doubled Garrett. You know, so it was a pocket. They doubled Garrett. Everybody else held up enough. He got the ball out with a beautiful pass to Hopkins. So some of it is just like, what are you doing with protection? You know, there's an interesting point, too. And actually, so Jake, so we got Karski and Jake at Jake and Ball. And his last name's eluding me, but he is now writing for Kuharski. And he's a good follow. And has a lot of good numbers, and he's doing a lot of analytics and stuff like that for Kaharski's site. He had an interesting
– big fan of the show, Jake and Greenbrier.
It's Jake and Greenbrier?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So he had a good – he's got a – these graphs sometimes make my eyes glaze over, but, you know, average time to throw versus average target depth. This is a True Media thing. True Media is great. We have it at The Athletic. I subscribe. I'm not great at navigating it, but it's loaded with info. So he's league average time to throw, but he's throwing it further downfield than all except three quarterbacks. In other words, the conclusion there, and this goes with the moving pocket, the Titans are neglecting the short passing game. You can't be a run, deep shot run with a screen every four drives. That's a Jake tweet right there. And I think that's a good point. I also think it's early, and one thing to remember on that is basically in this last game, it turned into – just got to throw the fade. I mean, the way they're stacking the box, their aggression, and the limited time you have to throw, you got to throw it up on this. Now, I agree though. Like some of the routes, after I watched the game again, there were like I thought too many plays were like it's like intermediate or deeper routes where it's like, man, I feel like you got to have a little bit more, get the ball out quickly.
Yep.
In this offense. And then, you know, in the failure play where you sacrifice 3 points, you lost 3 points because Myles Garrett sacks Tannehill in 2 seconds. You got Spears going out to the flat, which, yeah, again, Vrabel's point was you have people out there, you want to get people. You're trying to spread people out, get the defense to react to different targets, but God, that guy is so meaningless in that play. Like, keep him in and block Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Dave and Big Rock on the text line says, the question is, do you think this team is bad enough to have only won one out of their last 10 games? This is from Dave and Big Rock on the text line.
Okay, so
at a certain point last year, yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, look at the state of the team that lost most of those games. They didn't have Tannehill.
Yeah.
They had Jeffrey Simmons jumping around.
Josh Dobbs, quarterback.
Right. And, again, Josh Dobbs, props to Josh Dobbs.
Way to go.
It was awesome to see. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of those losses last year, they were a shell of a team because of injuries. They were the second most injured team ever after the first most injured team ever, the team before them.
Yes.
So, again, and don't take that as – I'm not saying – so none of it's on Vrabel. Of course not. But, I mean, to answer your question on that, yeah, I mean, they were pretty bad as a team as constructed by the end of last year. But, look, Vrabel should be accountable also for the state of the offensive line.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, And I think this year, I think before some too, but fine. Put it on J-Rob if you want. Great. You know, it's like everybody in the Titans org is like, everything's about, it's all J-Rob's fault. You know, what people would like, they'd like people to talk about. But Vrabel now, certainly, accountable for the choices of players and strategy in the offseason along with Rand Carthon.
Well, and this bottom line is this is the way that they decided to go with the offense. This is the way that they decided to go with the offensive line. And look, we talked about this the other day. There were not, you know, some just a laundry list of great choices in free agency to bring in on the offensive line. So we know that. But they did draft a quarterback in the second round. They did move up in order to do it, and you could have gone different ways with that, both either at wide receiver or at offensive line. I'm not saying that Will Levis is the wrong pick there. We'll see. We'll wait and see what happens and what he looks like. But I'm just saying there are different ways you could have gone about it if you were that worried about the offensive line. And, you know, Wes in Clarksville in text line says, I want to know at what point in the offseason he thought this offensive line would be good enough. All of them are backup quality players. And that was the big question mark all offseason long is what we talked about was the offensive line. And the returns through three games are, it's not very good.
Well, the return on the last game is, holy crap, is that bad.
Yeah.
The returns through the first two games, what were we talking about a week ago? It's been okay. It's been okay, right? It's been bad early and then gets better late. And, I mean, they just scored 27 points in a game, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, with starter, you know, there's a starter coming back. There's no way this line's going to have the transformation of the line from 4 years ago. No way. We've talked about that. Can it get a lot better? Can it look a lot better from Sunday moving forward? Yeah, I think so. Can it get to, like, being a league average offensive line? I might be shooting a little high.
I have my doubts on that.
But, look, we can go through all the players if you want. They had a guy they drafted who's a starter at right tackle. That's not their fault. Brunskill and Dillard are – In one case, Rand Carthon knows Brunskill, okay? So, giving him a chance. So, you're right. Those are backups. Now, Dillard's a first-round pick. I mean, TD talked about Dillard for 2 years. And I can see the talent there. They drafted a guy who's good. And then, you know, Aaron Brewer, by the way, PFF, liked Aaron Brewer's game a lot. So, I'm just
saying.
That's good. Top five PFF grade for
That's
the Titans.
Good.
You know, I know, like, people like Jared, you know, a 230-pound center. I mean, like, he's not, like, it's
not
a
not as big as Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's a downgrade from Ben Jones. I don't think he's, like, the problem. So, but like, you put it all together, and then you watch this last game, and I get it. It's not good.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Get back into that coming up at 645. Coming up next. It's time for The Choice is Yours. We'll take your participation in that as well. As always, I am in the questions chair, so we'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week, time for The Choice is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Jared Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Jared Companies, the only company your company needs for site work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Jared Companies now has a new commercial plumbing and HVAC division as well. If you need an estimate, call 615-515-1270 or visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. I am in the questions chair for The Choice is Yours today. We'll take your participation on our text line as well. Joe, Nick, where are we beginning? Sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
Non-sports. Okay. What is the greatest arcade game of all time? The greatest arcade game of all time. I can get started on this if you guys need to think about it.
Go ahead. If you've got it.
There's a few that came to mind. I mean, look, I'm a big Duck Hunt guy. Nah. Love that one. Really enjoyed Duck Hunt. There's the Tekken, like martial arts games, really enjoyed. But my answer comes back to NBA Jam. I'm a big NBA Jam guy. And there are certain establishments around town that have NBA Jam. And I always find myself locked in there for, like, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, just hogging the NBA Jam arcade game while I'm in there. So NBA Jam will be my answer, but there are about, I don't know, 15 different ways I can go with this, but NBA Jam, my greatest arcade game of all time.
Yeah, and this will be generational for sure. I think I'm going to go with Galaga.
Okay.
Galaga.
It was on the list.
Yeah, it's just a great game. Ms. Pac-Man's very close, and actually my most underrated game that I've spent many hours in an arcade with is Dig Dug. For anybody out there who knows Dig Dug, very underrated game. But, yeah, it's got to be Galaga, just classic.
Nick, these are your greatest arcade game of all time.
So, Joe, I played all of those growing up.
Really?
Every single one of them.
Wow, nice.
And
kind of surprising.
My favorite is Galaga, and I also spent many hours with my brothers because we tried to figure this game out when we were a lot smaller, but we played Dig Dug a lot. And then my other one, my all-time favorite, was Pac-Man growing up.
Yep. So regular Pac-Man, not Ms. Pac-Man?
I think we played both, but we didn't really favor one or the other as often.
Yep.
But I definitely enjoyed myself a good Pac-Man session by myself. And then, yeah, all those arcade games, man. And there's a bar downtown Nashville that I go to that has arcade games.
Yeah.
And that's where I can relive all those. Oh,
NFL
man.
Blitz. Love me some of that.
That's a good one.
I never played that. I'd also like to shout out Q-Bert and Centipede. Thank you.
Thank you. Very well done. All right, moving on to sports. Which athlete in this state has the most pressure on them to perform? Which athlete in this state has the most pressure on them to perform?
Oh. Okay, so let me come back to you with you're saying like in this coming year, like just right at this moment. Because, you know, I could say, well, John Morant hasn't started playing yet, so he has no pressure.
Well, in this coming year.
Yeah. This
everything, let's assume everybody's playing right now.
Yeah, most pressure to perform. That's a really good question. You know, I'm going to go with Joe Milton. And I say that just because I think that the University of Tennessee quarterback in general is a good answer for that. And then when you consider his story and Nico and all that stuff, and just that fan base, I think the nature of that fan base, you can try to block it out if you want. Joe Milton throws a pick Saturday night, you know, and they lose to South Carolina or whatever, he's struggling. There's 100,000 voices in his face. And, you know, I don't think Tennessee fans turn quickly on people, but I think that we're at the point where the pressure is high. There's a lot of other, I think, good answers, but I'm going to go with Big Joe.
I knew Milton's definitely in the mix. Nick, do you have an answer for the athlete in the state of Tennessee with the most pressure on them to perform?
See, I really want to go ahead and say Ja Morant. Like, that's just where I want to go because I know he's missing time to start the season, but I feel like when he does come back, it's all the more important that he does, and I think that it's kind of based on the success of the Grizzlies if he doesn't do well this time moving forward after his suspension. So we'll see what he's – I mean, I'm not doubting his abilities whatsoever. He's a great basketball player. So
the off the court stuff, I think, makes it very important.
Makes it very important. And if he doesn't come back, if he's not killing it, I think there's a reason to be really concerned for the Grizzlies.
I mean, Morant and Milton are my top two. So you guys have both kind of talked about that. I mean, I think you could go Tannehill. He's a starting quarterback of the NFL team here. But, I mean, the reason I'm not going Tannehill is because his contract's up at the end of the year and they've already drafted somebody that we think is going to replace him. So, like,
I mean,
there's pressure on
pressure
him
is career,
to perform
is
for his
career extension. Yeah.
You know, from the Predators' standpoint, like, they're in kind of a reset right now. Is there pressure? Like, who's under the most pressure on the Predators? Like, is it?
That's a good question.
Soros? I don't know.
He's gonna be good. I would say Philip Forsberg because he had a down year.
That's
contract. Hey, you know what? You scored 40 already. Why can't we be anywhere near that one again?
Yep.
So something like that.
I think my answer is Milton, though. I'm with you, just for the reasons that you laid out.
I think that's a good top two. And by the way, LD, sorry, Frogger also deserves a shout out.
Very nice. Very nice.
Shout out Frogger.
Back to non-sports. Which fall activity are you picking? Haunted house, corn maze / pumpkin patch, pumpkin carving, or bonfire? Which fall activity are you picking? Haunted house, corn maze / pumpkin patch, pumpkin carving, or bonfire?
This is time of life also.
It is.
So Young, Bonfire is easily the answer. And then, like, Young Parent, all those other things, Haunted House are awesome, the all that stuff. I mean, pumpkin carving, not very – I know you'll be surprised. I'm not very good at it. The kids have done some good ones. But then you get to the point where you have teenagers and they don't want to hang out with you anyway, so I'm going back to the bonfire.
Going back to the bonfire?
Some beers and some s'mores and a bonfire.
There you go.
It sounds like we all three need to have a bonfire then.
Hey, sign me up.
Yep. So mine, 1 to 3 for me, my top three, I would start with the bonfire, and then I would probably go to the maze just to kind of hang out, kind of out there.
Okay.
And then my last one would be the pumpkin carving, because I have done that, and I don't think I'm horrible at it, so.
No haunted house for you?
No haunted house. I really am not a fan.
I'm always scared of like the haunted house. Like, it doesn't scare me, but like the jump scare part of it does, because I'm afraid of what I'll do. Right? Like if you're wandering around through there and like somebody just jumps out and like grabs you, and they're not supposed to touch you, but sometimes they do. Like, am I going to punch him? Am I going to go to jail?
You're afraid of yourself.
I'm afraid of myself. I think they're overrated. Haunted houses are overrated.
There are
some good ones.
Some grapes in a bowl that are supposed to be eyeballs. Come on.
Yeah, it's good stuff. My answer is going to be the corn maze / pumpkin patch. Big fan of them.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Big time. I almost put in there, you ever been gone bobbing for apples? You ever done that?
Yeah.
Haven't done that in a while.
Pretty gross.
Post-COVID, I don't know that I want to do that again.
Yeah, let's all dip our heads and swash some spit in a big... Yeah. But I've done it.
I don't know how popular bobbing for apples still is in the year 2023.
Probably stunted my growth. I'd be 6'7 if I'd never bobbed for apples.
Maybe so. All right, back into sports. Which young player has the best chance to be a star-quality player? So hear what I'm saying here. I'm not saying star in terms of attention, because... there are NFL players that are going to get that regardless. But which young player in this city has the chance to be the best star quality player? Will Levis, Joakim Kimmel, Treylon Burks, Luke Evangelista. Will Levis, Joakim Kimmel, Treylon Burks, Luke Evangelista. Out of those four, who has the best chance to be a star quality player?
Jeez. You know, the thing is, I'm very intrigued by Kimmel in particular. I think that the ceiling there is pretty high.
I do too.
But it's just hard. I think he's going to be a good player. It's hard for me to get to star. I think Treylon Burks has a lot of ability. It's hard for me to get to star. So I'm going to go with Levis. Just because, and basically a lot of that is like the unknown being undefeated, but he's going to get an opportunity to be a franchise quarterback, and I think he does have a lot to offer. And I don't know if he'll be able to put it all together and get the consistent accuracy that he needs and clean up the mistakes and all that. But I think he has a lot to offer, and I'm going to go with him.
Nick Kieser, Will Levis, Joakim Kimmel, Treylon Burks, Luke Evangelista. Out of those four, who has the best chance to be a star player?
Well, I think just because we were doing retro things the other couple weeks ago, Kimmel was wearing like 90s-esque clothing before they left for Florida for the rookie showcase.
Was he even alive in the 90s?
Yeah, I don't think so. But what I would say is Kimmel, I think based on this list, I would lean Burks a little, but I think he still has a little more to show to kind of get to that point. I think he'd be my second, but I think Kimmel would. Based on the excitement he would offer on the ice, I really do think his shot is going to be something that fans crave to see once they get used to it. And he does make that jump to the NHL. I think he would be a quick fan favorite in Nashville.
I'm going Evangelista. That's my answer.
Interesting.
I think he's going to be really good. I mean, he's produced at every level he's ever been at a really high level. I think he's going to be really good.
Okay.
I would... honestly, I think my answer, if you'd asked this...
it'd be great news for the Preds, if you're right.
I know. I think my answer, if you'd asked this a few weeks ago, would have been Burks. I'm pretty discouraged by what I've seen from Burks, and we're going to get into that a little bit more coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The choice is yours, presented by Jarrett Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Jarrett Companies, the only company your company needs for site work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. If you need an estimate, call 615-515-1270 or visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can sign up to play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as we approach week 5 of college football and week 4 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. By the way, somebody voting for Golden Tee as the best arcade game of all time. A lot of Golden Tees out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was never huge on Golden Tee. Like some people, man, I've got some friends who were...
just all in.
I think that's the only reason they went to the bar was to play Golden Tee.
I enjoy Golden Tee. I don't know if it's on my – it's not really even in my top 10, but it's a good game.
It's good, yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Worth a mention.
615-737-1025. So we've discussed Treylon Burks a lot this week, Joe. And, you know, one catch, 5 yards, six targets for Treylon Burks on Sunday. Just nothing going for Burks. Dropped at least one. I talked about two plays in particular.
He dropped two, I think.
You can make the argument. I mean, so I think it's a drop. You know, Ward does get his hand in there and kind of rakes it out a little bit. I think it's a drop, but you can argue either way.
Well, actually, that would be the third, right? They had that crosser, and actually, if he catches the crosser.
You're right. So that would be the third.
Yeah. And then there was the fade on the sideline. So, yeah, he had two clear drops.
Two clear drops, and you can make an argument for a third.
Yeah.
So – obviously, that's not good. We've gone through Treylon Burks' season to this point. He was basically invisible in the New Orleans game. Makes the huge play, probably the play of the game in the Chargers game. So that's great. I mean, you can't leave that out of this conversation when you're talking about this. But, I mean, outside of that 70-yarder, that's really about it for Burks so far in terms of production. Obviously, if this Titans offense is, we talk about digging themselves out of a hole, in order for them to do that, he's going to have to be a big part of it as they move forward here. So what are you seeing from Burks right now, and how do you get him going? Like, how do the Titans find a way to get him going in the right direction as they move forward here and becoming a more consistent part of the offense? Because it's basically been about one play for Treylon Burks so far this year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I do think some of it is on them, is not on him. Some of it is involvement. You know, obviously on passing plays, you know, quarterback makes selections, but I don't think Burks has been involved enough. I'm sure for him, I mean, I look at, honestly, the entire skill group from this last game, I'm putting an asterisk next to all of it because of what happened up front. But still, you've got those plays. I mean, even if they're limited, it's like the goalie who doesn't see the puck for, you know, 16 minutes appeared and the first shot gets through. Like, you got to, even if it's just sporadic, you got to make a play when it comes your way. So, I agree with you. It's been very disappointing. But I think they've got to give him the ball quicker. I thought we'd see more, like, screens. I'm trying to think. I think he did have one little sweep at one point, right?
Yeah.
You know, but stuff like that. Get the ball in his hands.
That's a New Orleans game. Yep.
Yeah, I think he's maybe I'm overrating his ability to, you know, run with the ball, run after the catch. But I've seen some indications he's pretty dangerous in that way. I mean, you can go back to, like, his first game as a pro. I mean, I just think that they got to get the ball in his hands quickly. And, look, go vertical, too. That was the play of the season so far. Probably why they're not 0-3. But more involvement, and then yeah, he's just got to play better, make plays. I mean, there are times when he doesn't have a lot of separations, but you go back and look, there's definitely some plays out there where he's got space and you just got to get him the ball. And then some of that could be on Tannehill, some of that could be on the play call, and certainly a lot of it, I think, it can be on the protection. So
yeah,
it's so early to get too freaked out about him. And I know there's a lot this week in the text line. Like, oh, you guys talking about him in camp and everything. And I get it, but I do think that he's a very good player and should have a very good productive season. The Titans have figured out a way to make that happen too.
Our buddy Jake in Greenbrier on the text line says, average depth of target was 18 yards against Cleveland. I wish Tim Kelly would draw up some quick looks for him near the line of scrimmage if they're going to line him up outside 80% of the time. That could set up play action. Has to separate and catch the ball, though. This is from Jake in Greenbrier on the text line. And a couple things with Burks, Joe. Number one, I do think, you know, we talked about the deep shots, and he proved again in the Chargers game that he can do that. He did it a couple of times last year. Like, he is there – he's their deep threat guy to me. Like, that's what he is. He can if they're going to take a shot down the field, it's probably going to be to Burks. Now, having said that, how often are they going to be able to take a shot down the field given the protection issues that they're having right now? And number two, like, you got to be more than that as a wide receiver. And I think he is. They just haven't been able to utilize that so far this year. The one thing that's disappointing to me, and this happened in the Saints game, it happened again against the Browns, those combat catches on intermediate routes. Like, you got to find a way to come down with the ball. Like, he had the drop in the New Orleans game too, where he's coming right over the middle there, and he just drops the ball, and there's somebody on his back, but you still got to make the catch. Like, catching those balls where in the NFL, maybe it doesn't look like you're open, but you are. Like, that's about as open as you're going to get. You got to find a way to bring down and bring in more of those catches than he is right now.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure he would agree to. And this is why, to me, a couple quick ones early might help that too.
Yeah.
You know, kind of get into the game. It's just, I think it's got to be harder to make a play like that. Not trying to make an excuse for him, but it's got to be harder to make a play like that when it's you haven't seen the football in two quarters or whatever. You know? I mean, I think they've got to feed him.
Isn't it reaching a point? Like, if you're Tim Kelly and you're Vrabel and you're going over your game plan offensively this week against Cincinnati, and we've talked about running the ball. You got to be able to run the ball. I mean, that's a big part of the Titans' offense. But doesn't it, like, aren't we reaching the point where it's got to be a pretty heavy point of emphasis to get Burks the ball and to get it to him early and often and to see what he can do with it? Like, I stand by what I said earlier. Like, if he's not heavily involved in the offense, I just don't know how good the offense is going to be. I like Hopkins, and I think Hopkins has been pretty much what I thought he would be so far, which is a good player, and that's great to have. But you need somebody else in the passing game along with him. Chigakonkwo has not stepped up to be that so far. Kyle Phillips has been out. So if it's not going to be Okonkwo and Phillips has been out, it's got to be Burks. I think it's always had to be Burks. And there's got to be, to me, an intentional emphasis from the coaching staff to get him the football on Sunday.
I agree. I think one thing you've seen, and at least it looks this way, is that in a short period of time, DeAndre Hopkins has come in as a great player, as a guy who's seen a lot in this league, as has Tannehill, and those guys have connected, and like there's a certain trust level that has been built in a short period of time.
Agreed.
And there's still – and look, keep in mind, I mean, Burks is a second year, and he's missed a lot of time on stuff. I don't think that's quite there. Tyler says, Burks doesn't have the trust of Tannehill to win the one-on-one matchups in the short to intermediate areas. He's not beating corners the way I feel like he should. His ceiling is Corey Davis. I think that was a good text, Tyler, until you said his ceiling is Corey Davis. His ceiling is higher than Corey Davis.
I would agree.
I don't know that he's going to get there. I have no idea how it's going to play out, but he has a higher ceiling than Corey Davis.
I agree with that. Now, the prevailing hope from Titans fans is that his ceiling is like A.J. Brown, and it's getting harder and harder for me to see that. Like, it's second year, so I'm not going to sit here and make any declarations one way or the other as to what he is or what he isn't. But there's, at some point, got to be a level of consistency to his game that he has just not been able to find yet. And some of that's been injury, and some of that's just been the way he's played. And I think there's got to be some improvement in that area for him as he moves forward.
Yeah, the A.J. Brown comparison is natural, obvious, unfair, and I agree with you. I think if you had me force me to bet something right now, he's going to be as good as A.J. Brown or not, I'll push a lot of chips in the middle of the table that he's not. But also, let's remember, he's on a bad offense.
He is.
And A.J. Brown was on a really good offense. I mean, basically, his rookie year – well, actually, it's funny because A.J. Brown's rookie year started out with the worst offense in the NFL, and then he was on one of the best in the NFL for – as his – career blossomed. He was a big part of that too.
Yeah.
But they had everything working, and this offense has very little working.
Garrett in Clarksville says, why does it seem like other teams can get open receivers but we can't? Is it a scheme thing, or is it just better route running from receivers around the league? You know, I mean I think they got open in the New Orleans game and the quarterback missed them. They got open in the Chargers game and, you know, the quarterback finished, I think, 20 of 24 in that game. They hit a couple deep shots down the field. And then last game was what it was.
Like, yeah. You know. Like, if we're going to – exactly. Like last game, if we're going to only look at last game, then they're the worst offense ever, okay? No one gets open. They can't run. They can't block. They stink. There's a lot. There's three games of film, and actually there's some good stuff in the other two games. So, I they don't have a burner. But Hopkins finds space, okay? And he will continue. If he's out there, I think he and Tannehill have been off the mark with each other a little bit, right? In the New Orleans game, yep. There was one, right? But he's going to be available for the ball. Burks needs to be more available and just needs to get the ball more.
Well, in the name of the A.J. Brown stuff aside, because he's always going to be compared to A.J. Brown because of the trade and everything that went down. But he's a first-round receiver. Like, that's the more important. Like, you drafted him in the first round to be a star receiver. Whether it was to replace A.J. Brown or not, you drafted him in the first round to be a star receiver. And he's not there yet. And I think he's got good ability. I think he can get there. But like I said, I think there's got to be a point of emphasis from the Titans to get him the football starting on Sunday. Just because I don't know how you're going to be an offense that's consistent enough if you don't. Like, there's such a small margin for error for this offense in my mind, and he's got to be a big part of the solution. So we'll see if they start to do that on Sunday. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to take more of your thoughts on Mike Vrabel. What is the temperature of this Titans fan base on Mike Vrabel and the job that he's currently doing with the Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.